Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it hard, now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney,
but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I am the founder of Gear Media Studios, a full-service podcast studio.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with entrepreneurs and celebrities who tell their stories about their business journey and also share helpful insights about the successes that they've had.
But now, I want to move on to our next presenter, who is doing just Star Trek-style stuff, I don't know what to say, with medical. It's Mao Nu. He is a professor at Rutgers, and he is in the Biomedical Engineering University, and he has his own little lab and his own assistants and his own people working for him there. Energy harvesting. I had not heard about that before I saw what you were doing. That is so cool. Can you please explain everything you're doing?
Yeah, sure. I think my research majorly focuses on the two parts. The first part is on focusing on the wearable electronics. And the second part is focusing on the energy harvesting. So what is wearable electronics? I'll just give you an example. The Apple Watch, that is a product that I previously worked on, is just an example of wearable electronics. I think now the wearable electronics field is emerging because major of the health, you know that. I still remember that one logo for the Apple Watch is the future of the health is on your wrist. So yes. That is something I really think about because the wearable electronics that can continuously, you know, that monitor your physiological conditions, that can give you some insights about yourself. That's something that if you didn't do it continuously, you may not even know about it. So that's why wearables, I think, will be the future of the health.
I mean, just to expand on what you said a little bit there, I mean, there's lots of different medical tests, but they're not necessarily continuous, right? They only identify your health at a particular point in time. And really, to understand your health completely, you need that continuous monitoring, right? And that's where wearables really can come in and be very important.
Yes. Just give an example like atrial fibrillation, right? Your heart has atrial fibrillation, but not always, you know, that if you don't measure it continuously, it's very easy for you to miss the signature of the atrial fibrillation. So that's the value that wearables can add. Yeah. And the second part of my research is about energy harvesting. Just also give you an example of the energy harvesting is a solar cell. You know, that you have every day. But here, for the specifically, I'm developing energy harvesting technologies for the wearables. So, for example, like the biomechanical energy harvesting, like harvest the energy from your walking, from your running, to generate electricity to power those wearables.
So wait a minute. So if I'm going to wear a wearable, I have to run?
You don't need to run, but just during your walking, that's the batteries
walking
on those.
Walking I can handle. What if you're sedentary, though? I mean, do you have to take into account different lifestyles when you're working on these technologies?
Yes, of course. So if you are just you don't like to walk or run, even you just sit at the table, we are also developing the energy harvesting technologies that is harvesting the power line grid noise. You know that?
Oh, yeah. You were telling me about that. Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
So that one, even you sit here, you can just harvest the energy from your computer that is able to generate electricity to power those wearables.
Sandy, you have to respond to this. Come on.
Wow. I just try and generate electricity with the wifey every couple of hours. You know, but I
want the lazy man's version, okay?
But, you know, Simia has a really good idea. But have you done any patent research to see what's currently out there? Because you want to make sure you're working on something that's new and novel. And, you know, question for Richard, if you're a young inventor, you could do a patent search, but it's not going to be nearly as thorough as hiring a firm like Gearhart Law.
Well, we always recommend that you at least look first.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember one time somebody came into my office and they had a consumer product. It was a particular kind of chair. And I was like, well, somebody's, you know, probably patented this before. We went over to my computer. We did a search and there it was on Amazon. And, you know, they were going to pay for a search. But it turned out that it was already on the market, right? So do a little research first before you come see me, unless, you know, you want to spend money on a patent search and you know, you don't want to take the time. Yeah. But Sandy makes a great point that it's really important to look before you leap.
Exactly. You want to make sure you're spending time on something that somebody else hasn't already done.
Yeah, of course. You know that when we choosing the research topics, we also want to always want to be innovative.
Right. As a professor, you wouldn't publish a paper on technology that's already been published. So you are constantly looking at your industry and looking at your field and really trying to break through and find something new. I just find this fascinating. How do you, if you're sitting there, how does your device harvest the energy from the computer?
Yes, because the computer is indeed also, you have this power line grid, you know, that it's a 60 hertz electromagnetic wave that is all over your whole house, you know. Then you they are able to develop some kind of the smart clothing that is able to couple those kind of 60 hertz, you know, that electromagnetic wave that by those kind of the clouds, then you are able to generate electricity by doing this.
Is that why I can't sleep at night? Because I'm covered by 60 hertz?
Maybe.
So what kind of applications do you have so far?
Yes. So for the wearable technologies related applications, you know that our team is currently developing some kinds of motion sensors to help to monitor the rehab status for the spinal cord injury, traumatic brain injury, and also Parkinson's disease patients to monitor their rehab status because their rehab is linked to their, you know, that gait. And for some other application, we are also designing some electrocardiogram, you know, that continuous sensors to monitoring the sleep apnea, specifically for the, you know, that neonates, that is a premature neonates, that's the babies that are born early. Their lung hasn't been fully developed yet. So we are trying to develop some technologies to detect the apnea, which is very common in those kind of the patients.
So is your goal simply to create these technologies, but what about commercializing them? Because they seem like really amazing and socially useful. Do you have any plans for that?
Of course, yeah. That's the reason why I'm also currently a co-founder of a startup company. This is also some technologies that we have developed for the robotic hand. But for the other, you know, that wearable technology and energy harvesting technology, we are really recently working on right now. And my plan is definitely, you know, that once we got the patent, got it published, I think we will work, you know, that with some kind of the investor like Sandy.
The guy's right here, you know, and he's like nodding his head, everything you say. So, Sandy, pony up.
All good. But, you know, Simi, I was ahead of the curve because we spoke before when we first met. And, you know, if you're a medical practitioner, if you're a doctor or you're an inventor or a scientist, that's one skill set. Running a business is a very different skill set. And he understands the need to surround himself with business professionals that can help him scale his business once he gets to that point. He's way ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Simi, what is your vision for this company, for these devices?
I think for the vision of the company, the first thing is, of course, your device needs to be FDA approved. That is the first important, you know, that milestone, you know, that for those kind of the medical device company, right? Once it's FDA approved, the second, you know, that milestone for those kind of startups is to generate your first revenue. This is also very, very important. And then the next day is to scale it up. You know, so I do want to create technologies that can really, you know, that work for a group of the patients that can rely on those kind of the technology to significantly improve their lives.
That's great. And then in terms of manufacturing, is there, I mean, it's one thing to create the technology, it's another thing to make it, and then it's another thing to make it at commercial scale, right? What are some of the challenges that you faced for those things?
Yes. You know that I previously worked for the Apple Watch team, so I have worked with the manufacturing companies, you know, that at China to manufacturing those kinds of the Apple Watch and testing of those kind of the Apple Watch during the, you know, that the pre-build is not the real, you know, that mass production. You know, we do have a lot of the problems like the failure analysis that we need to go through. So you really need to design very, you know, that complicated test stations to test every aspect of your medical devices to make sure it can, you know, that work as you expected. And then you also need to deal with the failures that can maybe only happens maybe five devices during the 1,000 devices that you build. That once with those kind of stuff, that the experience, you do all of this failure analysis, and finally you get a recipe that can finally make those mass production work.
Yeah, I mean, because you're not just telling time, right? You're measuring vital things, and if it goes wrong, then that could have serious consequences.
Yes, of course. So that's the reason that for the all the current wearable devices, we are only giving you advice. Like, for example, the atrial fibrillation detection, you know, that features in the Apple Watch, if they detected something, you know, that that makes caught your attention, they will ask you to take a look at, take an appointment with your doctor, you know, that you really need some real medical devices to help you further diagnosis of your situation. But they can definitely not only rely on the wearable devices, but they can really catch some early signs for you for your further diagnosis.
Yeah. So, Simeon, how does this fit in with Rutgers? Is your company completely separate from Rutgers? Do they expect a piece of it? I mean, how does that all fit together?
I think Rutgers have their, you know, that their patent office, and they are also have some their tech advanced, you know, that department to help, you know, the professors, you know, that with their ideas to grow up with a startup companies. So Rutgers do have a very detailed policy on those kind of the aspects. So because, you know, that the patents is, of course, holding by both Rutgers and myself. But then typically, if you want to go for a startup company, that you, Rutgers may just get some licensing fees from the patents that you developed once you're a professor at Rutgers.
Oh, so that's a win-win for Rutgers.
Yes,
then.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty smart.
Yeah. And even Rutgers have some kind of seed fundings for letting the professors to develop their own startup.
That's great. So getting back to the Apple Watch, I know that they keep evolving. I don't know when the last model that you worked on, but how many different functions are actually packed into an Apple Watch? It seems like there's tons of technology and lots of different things that they can do.
Yes, of course. You know that definitely. You know that that's why, you know, that they are currently major selling point for is for their health monitoring capability. I just want to, you know, that point out two killer applications that are still not in the Apple Watch. One is the continuous blood pressure monitoring, and the second thing is the non-invasive continuous blood glucose monitoring. You know, that there are two killer applications that most of the, you know, the smartwatch companies, including Apple, Samsung, all of them, they are working, you know, that towards. But currently, no one still have commercial solutions.
But it seems to me it's pretty amazing that just a watch sitting on your wrist can measure vital signs, check optics based on that physical characteristics of a person. Right? It's amazing how far the technology has come.
One thing I love about what you're doing is, so I have a watch that does all that, but I have to charge it all the time, right? So if you can have it charged while it's sitting there on your wrist, that's super powerful, really, because then you don't have to take it off and charge and lose a day charging it.
Yes, that's also why, you know, that I'm also trying to working on those you know, energy harvesting technologies is just because of my own problem to charge my Apple Watch. You know that
necessity is the mother of invention.
Yeah. So you know that currently I'm using my own watch to monitor my sleep. Then I don't have time to charge it. So I'm just thinking about, you know, how about using some other, you know, that energy source that that could be abundant everywhere from the society, from your everyday living to charge that, right? The energy is indeed there, just you need ways to convert them and find ways to just charge your wearable device.
Well, I think that's brilliant. Smiao Nu, thank you so much. This has been so enlightening. How do people find you?
I think the people can find me through my email address. So my email address is simiao.niu, my first name, last name, at rutgers.edu. So if you have any questions, feel free to send me an email, and I will try my best to answer that.
And if you want to invest.
He's got a startup.
He's got a startup.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 38 markets across the United States. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, and our studio assistant Rissikat Busari. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.